White. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. November 29th, 1896. Dear son Willie, we have received your letter, read it, and am very much pleased that you have good conveniences and pleasant society. We thank the Lord that none of you were injured in the perilous storm. I wrote you quite a letter, which you will probably receive today. I've just returned from calling on May. This is the first time I have walked as far since returning from Sydney camp meeting. I've had several severe attacks recently. I'm just recovering from one, about which I have written you particulars. I am now better. If I will be careful, I can have clearness of mind to write upon important matters. And as long as I can shun writing individual testimonies, I'm able to do much writing on Bible subjects. But the sense of what we might be, and the dishonor to God because we do not reach the high standard, is so painful to me, it seems as if I could not live. I find that my words are treated as idle tales. When they shall be received as truth and acted upon, then the burden will leave me. I'm trying to recover my strength. I have visited May. The hot weather has not been favorable to the health of your children. I find Henry troubled with dysentery. Herbert, not as bad. Henry was asleep while I read to May letters received from yourself and Brother Haskell. She then took up Henry, who was crying, and continued to cry. He stretched out his arms to come to me. I took him, and he lay his head upon my shoulder. I then, after a little, sat down and sang to him. He went to sleep, and I lay him down to come and write this letter to you. And I must write one to Elder Haskell. This is an important time just now. The closing up of the book on the life of Christ. I want quiet and restfulness, but if the Lord has anything to impress upon my mind, I can discern the subject and prepare it for the book. You will see by these letters enclosed that it would not be wisdom to lessen our working forces now. The interest continues the same, as you will see by Elder Haskell's letters. I feel bad that Brother Baker is dragging in just now the debt on the Ashfield meeting house and the debt of the camp meeting, £50. He had better had this burden some time before this. A number of the committee met together to talk the matter over. They talked of something being done. Elder Haskell donated £1. Elder Starr and wife each £1. Sister Haskell £1. And there the matter hung. Brother Baker donated nothing. I asked Brother Baker, why should this debt be left on the New South Wales Conference? The time to see and work off their indebtedness was when the people were in the meeting, when all were present, not wait, and then when the very work is being done that must be done to get workers and pay workers. His great burden is the means. I think there is a decided oversight in this matter of allowing the camp meeting to break up with £50 debt upon it, and he had been so passive about it when, with wise management, it could have been divided among the many. He had let the opportunity go by, and then was worrying and talking about the debt left on the conference. The debt need not have been left on the conference if he had been a faithful steward to act his part. Now, when there is some talk of building a meeting house, all his burden is for the debt left of the camp meeting expenses and the debt on Ashfield Church. At a time when everyone is doing his level best to keep up the interest, visiting from house to house, giving Bible readings and holding meetings, Sabbath and Sunday, and every day in the week but Monday, putting in all the labor possible, then the great burden of Brother Baker is introduced and harped upon. This has a discouraging influence upon the work that now needs to be advanced, when everyone needs to strike fast, hold fast, and gather in the sheaves. Those who have taken matters so slow and so easy seem now to stand as a hindrance by putting blocks in the way of the advance of the work. I shall write to Elder Haskell to take no notice of this kind of work that would get up every possible debt to get everyone interested in that, and feel no special interest to advance. Well, You will see, now is the time to arise and build. We have no use for men who are half asleep, when they ought to be wide awake, and take advantage of circumstances. And then, when interest in another line of the work is being created, to show a decided jealousy, lest the debt will not be paid on the Ashfield meeting house or the camp meeting expenses. Oh, how these things tire me. No less than 25 souls are keeping the Sabbath, and more are deeply convicted, and all these souls will help to sustain the work. They are all full of interest and zeal for a meeting house. Appointments were out for me last Sabbath and Sunday, and I must not disappoint them again. I will go to Stanmore, and the Lord will give me strength.
A word in behalf of May. Please do not send company to her whom she does not know. Sister Pallant and child have been at her house 1 week, and we are in poor circumstances just now, cutting through for windows and chambers. One window is through, and it makes a very decided difference in the atmosphere of the room. I am glad this improvement is being made, and I will do my best if here, but I shall probably be at Sydney. I merely mention this, that you will bear in mind that May has her hands quite full, and not overtax her. You know we have no fruit now, and there is little that can be prepared for table diet. As soon as Brother Goodhart comes back, we will take him to board. Brother Bell and Brother Thompson are now at work on these windows. Brother Bell is preparing the chambers by strengthening the roof with joists. We had a precious shower here on last Friday. It refreshed things, but we need more to go into the ground. I have no particular news to write for you. We are all usually well in our family. We do pray for you every time we come before the Lord, that He will give you in Melbourne many souls as the result of the meeting. May the Lord help us to have faith and hope and courage. You have quite a number of labourers in Melbourne. I do not think the labourers miss me, and I have not any burden to go to Melbourne. For some reason there is not any light I can get to go. I long now for quiet and the peace of Christ and rest. I will be grateful if I am not called to attend another large gathering of our people. We are of little faith. When we shall seek the Lord with all our hearts, when we shall have due respect for those who have borne the burden in the heat of the day for their work's sake, when we love God supremely and our neighbor as ourselves, then will the truth prosper in our hands and go forth as a lamp that burneth. We need to heed the second chapter of Revelation and understand what it means to lose our first love. We need to humble our hearts before God, and then He will see it is safe for Him to work with us and for us. I have just sent over to see how the children are. Better is the report, but May will probably write to you herself. In much love, Mother.